Thank you, Jenny. I am so excited about you and the 30 other UNC grads who will be joining Teach for America this summer. We really see the impact in our effort of everything you all do here at Carolina to foster a commitment to public service, and I'm sure it's only a glimpse of your broader impact in the world. Well, congratulations to all of you, not least to you parents. As the mom of three boys, I really pray to have the good fortune to arrive at this point you have reached and can only imagine how accomplished you feel. Congratulations to the faculty members who have had such impact on the graduates who will receive their diplomas today, and of course, to you graduates. Congratulations on your accomplishment. You have been so privileged to attend such a rich and warm institution, one with such a strong ethos of achievement and service, and I know it has equipped you with the knowledge and values to lead rewarding lives. It is inspiring to sense the potential in this stadium, and I am personally deeply honored to have the opportunity to address you. I want to share three thoughts as you head out into the world. The first is about the importance of these next few years in front of you. They are a time when I believe you have something invaluable, the perspective that comes from inexperience. The world needs your inexperience. It needs you before you accept the status quo, before you are plagued by the knowledge of what is impossible. Thinking back to my own senior year in college, I wasn't intending to start something like Teach for America or to start anything at all for that matter. As a college senior, I was applying to two-year corporate training programs, seeking out political internships, and generally struggling in my search for something that I really wanted to do. My generation was dubbed the, quote, me generation. People thought that all we wanted to do was focus on ourselves and make a lot of money, but that did not strike me as right. I felt as if thousands of us, talented, driven seniors, were searching for a way to make a social impact, but simply couldn't find the opportunity to do so. Well, during my senior fall, I helped organize a conference about education reform, where one of the topics was the shortage of qualified teachers in urban and rural communities. It was at that conference that I thought of an idea. Why doesn't our country have a national teacher corps that recruits us to teach in low-income communities the same way we're being recruited to work on Wall Street? Well, from that moment, I was possessed by this idea. I thought it would make a huge difference in kids' lives and that ultimately it could change the very consciousness of our country by influencing the thinking and career paths of a generation of leaders. So I did the obvious thing. I wrote a very long and very passionate letter to the President of the United States. I suggested that our president start this corps. That didn't get very far. I received a job rejection letter in response. And so, in my undergraduate thesis, I declared that I would try to create such a corps myself as a nonprofit organization. Well, when my thesis advisor looked at my budget, which showed that to recruit 500 new teachers into this corps during the first year would cost $2.5 million, he asked me if I knew how hard it would be to raise $2,500, let alone $2.5 million. But aided by my inexperience, I was unfazed by his helpful question. When school district officials and potential funders literally laughed at the notion that the me generation would jump at the chance to teach in urban and rural communities, their concerns, too, went unheard. Well, that year, 2,500 graduating seniors competed to enter Teach for America in response to a grassroots recruitment campaign, flyers under doors since there was no email back then. And one year after I graduated, with $2.5 million in hand from the corporate and foundation community, I was looking out on an auditorium full of 489 recent college graduates who had joined Teach for America's first corps. my very greatest asset in reaching this point was that I simply did not understand what was impossible. I would soon learn the value of experience, but Teach for America would not exist today if it were not for my naivete. I see this same phenomenon every day as I watch 23-year-olds walking into classrooms and setting goals for themselves and their students that most people believe to be entirely unrealistic. The conventional wisdom is that there is only so much schools can do to overcome the challenges of poverty and the lack of student motivation and parental involvement that is perceived to come with it. But then there's Leanne Honigsberg, a Teach for America core member in Phoenix who I met just 2 weeks ago. His school's vice principal saw that he had a degree in cognitive neuroscience and naturally called him the day before school started to ask him to teach a math class wholly comprised of seniors who were in danger of not graduating because they had not been able to pass the math portion of the state's exit exam. It was a daunting task. Liam's students seemed to be entirely uninterested in math. Their performance levels ranged from not having passed algebra to not having passed geometry, but Liam determined that they could and would gain the skills to graduate. The Arizona Republic estimated last year that 5,000 students didn't graduate in Arizona because they didn't pass that exit exam, and yet thanks to Liam's idealism, all of his students will walk across the stage this spring. Just over 100 miles from here, Tammy Sutton and Caleb Dolan were teaching middle schoolers in Gaston County. Tammy and Caleb were just 25 years old when they decided 5 years ago that to truly ensure that their students had the opportunities they deserve, they would have to actually go out and start a new school in their community, a school that would set their students up to go to college. This was a pretty radical idea in Gaston County, and there were many skeptics. But in spite of many who said it could not be done, they designed a program with rigorous expectations that would run from 7:30 in the morning until 5 o'clock at night on 2 Saturdays a month and 3 weeks during the summer. Today, their school's eighth graders, students who came to them in the fifth grade, performing anywhere between the first and fourth grade levels, are performing at a level that places their school among this state's top 15 schools in reading, writing, and math. Teach for America's story and Liam and Tammy and Caleb show us that your inexperience is a real asset. I hope you will put it to good use. Ask your naive questions. The second thought I want to share with you this morning is, on the other hand, about the importance of time. The rewards of perseverance, of gaining the hard-won insights that come from sticking with sizable challenges and embracing steep learning curves. The real story of Teach for America came after that first year, when I saw how much I had to learn and what it would actually take to fulfill our mission. As our core members began teaching, we realized how incredibly hard it would be to recruit individuals straight out of college and train and support them so that they would not just survive, but rather would succeed as teachers in our country's most under-resourced communities, so that they would leave their experience with a deeper commitment to change and not more disillusioned about its possibility. And there were many other hard-learned lessons about how to manage an enterprise at this scale and how to keep it afloat. There were many times when I was not sure that I was going to make it. There was a lot of failure, and there were many mistakes, just as there were successes. Today, we are still pushing ourselves as hard as we ever have to make Teach for America bigger and better, to build a force of leaders capable of changing the educational and life prospects of their students and who go on beyond their initial two-year commitment to address the disparities in our nation in fundamental, lasting ways. As the momentum around our efforts has grown to the point where this year, despite this being the strongest job market in 5 years, 19,000 graduating seniors applied to Teach for America, people have asked me whether I envisioned this, whether I ever dreamed we would reach this point. The thing is, you all, I thought we would reach this point in year two or three. What I didn't envision was how long it would take. What I have come to appreciate, though, is that things that matter take time. I think about another colleague of mine, an extraordinary guy named Chris Barbic, who entered Teach for America 14 years ago in Houston, Texas. He was distressed to see his sixth graders, whom he knew had enormous potential, go on in a middle school that wasn't meeting their needs. Chris was working in a neighborhood where sixth graders typically have an 8% chance of graduating from college. So after his third year of teaching, he decided to try to change that. Like Tammy and Caleb, he started a middle school and then a few years later a high school called the Yes College Preparatory Academy. I remember talking with Chris through many difficult years when he was scrounging for small grants, fighting huge battles for a building to house his school, and encountering so many other challenges involved in building something that actually met his expectations. Well, this past weekend, as I was taking a break from writing this speech, I was reading the Newsweek ranking of the top high schools in the country, in which they rank high schools without taking into account the socioeconomic background of their students, according to the percentage of students who are taking college-level classes. 11 years after Chris started his school, Yes College Preparatory Academy made Newsweek's list of the top 100 high schools in America. His is the only school in Houston to make that list. So according to Newsweek, you are better off going to Yes than to any other school in Houston. Chris has defeated educational inequity for his students. As he told me on the phone after that article came out, it took 23 hours a day of his time and energy for 11 years to reach that point. But boy, does he have something to show for it. We live in a time when it is rare to meet people in their 20s and 30s who have stayed with something for more than a few years. And certainly in some cases, the right thing is to experiment and move on. But in other cases, the right thing is to stay with something, internalize tough lessons, and push yourself to new levels of knowledge and responsibility. Your idealism can enable you to pursue noble aims, but it takes hard work and personal growth and a kind of determined patience to see them actually come to be. My third thought, with which I will leave you, is about the importance of searching until you find your passion, a purpose greater than yourself, in pursuit of which you will brave asking the naive questions, pick yourself up after the failures, and push on despite formidable obstacles. I feel incredibly fortunate to have found my passion so early in my search, to have found my way by chance to something about which over time I have come to believe only more strongly. As someone who has never taught myself, I have learned so much from those core members who have experienced extraordinary success with their students. I see in their examples the unconscionable disparities that persist in our country, juxtaposed against the clear potential of their students. Liam, Tammy and Caleb and Chris show us that the inequity in educational outcomes that persists along socioeconomic lines is not an intractable problem, that we can, in our lifetime, realize the day when all children attain an excellent education. For me, it was a deep belief in this cause, a cause so much greater than myself, that enabled me to take sometimes terrifying leaps outside of my comfort zone during the years after I graduated, and that then, even as things got much tougher, have left me no option but to keep at it. When I asked Tammy why she stepped out into the unknown and challenged expectations about what students in her community could accomplish, she said, "I just love my kids." When I asked Chris why he persevered despite all the challenges, he said, "I just really believe in this." It is exhausting to have true passions, but it is hard to imagine anything more fulfilling. My very deepest hope for you is that you find your way to a pursuit that is so important to you that you will approach it with perfectionist zeal and gain the personal strength and insight and the deep sense of exhaustion and satisfaction that comes from that. Thank you. Good luck.